Well, today is the one time of year that I get to talk about money. Yay, right? Now, the funny thing is, growing up, and even when I was a youth pastor on staff at churches, I thought, man, if I was ever a pastor, which I didn't think I would be, I would never talk about money, right? And the main reason that I thought this and believed this growing up is because it seemed like every time a pastor got up and talked about money, it's because the church was going through financial struggles, right? And it felt like the pastor or someone from the council or staff or someone would be up there just begging for more money, right? And in some cases, almost guilting people to give money to the church. And that bothered me. It really bothered me. You know, I'm someone who has always believed that God is our provider. He is our provider, that if we trust in Him, He will provide. And if a pastor or a council member or staff member is up front in a church pleading and guilting people to give, do they really trust that God is their provider? And so I thought I would never talk about money in a church. But after our first year of planning the church, I realized that it's possible to talk about money in church and have it be a wonderful and positive thing. That we could share the reality that God is our provider and the blessings that come from giving, the blessings that come from learning to trust God with even our finances. Learning to be good stewards of what He's given us. And so each year, when I get up here to talk about money, it's not to beg for more money. It's not to guilt anyone into giving. It's to share how God has provided faithfully for us as a church and how He enables us to use what He has provided to bless others. That's the purpose of the church, that God gives to us so that we can be a blessing to others. Now, I do have to admit that for the first 11 years, it was a lot easier to get up here and share about giving because God has constantly blessed us financially as a church. And over 90% of the time, our finances have increased each year throughout those 12 years. And those few times where we didn't see an increase, that decrease was very minor. It wasn't this huge drop-off. It just kind of maybe leveled out, maybe just a little bit below what it had been before. That is until this past year, okay? This year for our church was a very interesting year. And I want to take a moment to just give you kind of a brief idea of what myself and the council kind of went through over this past year. Now, it began at the end of 2022, right? We're ending 2022, and as we're praying about the budget for 2023, last year, as we're praying about that, I was praying and just giving it to the Lord, and I very clearly heard the Lord say these words: where you end this year is a great place to start. Because we're always trying to figure out, you know, our budget for the next year. Where do we go? Okay, we've been growing this year. Do we hope we keep growing and make it bigger? Do we go small? What do we do? And so I just felt like the Lord said, where you end this year is a great place to start. And thanks to an amazing year-end gift by someone who doesn't even attend our church, we had the best year that we've had in the history of our church. And it was amazing. And so the council and I, we agreed, okay, we're going to move forward with the budget based on our ending 2022 income. But here's the thing that many people would never know about our church. For the past 8, 9 years, maybe 10, I'm trying to remember how long it's been, we've had a local business that has faithfully supported our church. And when I say faithfully supported, they have given in ways that most businesses would never think about giving. Because the amount that they gave was a third, if not more, of our church's income. And it's their amazing generosity that has really enabled us to be the blessing that God has called us to be. But shortly after 2023 began, or in the middle of 2022, 2023, the owner of this business shared with me that things were changing in their business, that because of the times and stuff that was going on, and that to some unforeseen circumstances, that their business was going to take some big financial hits, some losses, which meant that their monthly donation to the church was going to be about half, maybe even a little bit lower than what it had been. Which, when all was said and done, when you calculate that together from last year and this year and look at the averages given, all that kind of stuff, it calculates to about $3,000 a month, which is a large amount of money for a small church like us, right? And so when here's the thing, though. When I talked to the owner, they were feeling guilty that they wouldn't be able to give the way that they had been given. And I wanted to remind them. I said, you know what? Your business is not the provider for Dallas Four Square Church. Now, God has used them throughout the years in many ways to provide and help provide, but they are not the provider of Dallas Four Square Church. God is our provider. Now, it's easy to say those words, right? But it's a whole other thing to actually believe it when you're getting cuts like this out of the money that's coming in each month. And so as we began 2023, we started seeing that we were actually falling like $3,000 to $4,000 behind each month on our budget. And here's the thing. Thankfully, we had some money in the bank. We had some money in savings. But the question was, how long could we go before we had to do something? Because each month we were kind of like, oop, more out of the savings. Oop, uh-oh. Savings is getting smaller and smaller. And part of that, we could have done things quicker, but when we finished 2022, we felt like God spoke to us. And as a council, we kept talking. Hey, I feel like I know that we're kind of getting hit here, but we're supposed to trust that God is our provider, right? And so every month we fell short. I literally was on my face before the Lord just praying, God, okay, what do we need to do? And every time I'd hear him say the same thing. Do you really trust that I am your provider? Do you trust in a savings account or do you trust in me? And so as the finances continually went down, I just kept looking at our budget, trying to figure out, okay, Lord, what do we need to do here? Where do we make cuts? Because that was the big thing. It's like, if we keep going this direction, we got to cut somewhere. Where do we make cuts? And the thing is, I was running into a few problems. Because the cost of living has increased dramatically, right? And so those things, those facilities and things we pay for, the lights and water and all that stuff has been growing. And so there were many things we couldn't cut. Because if we wanted to have a building, if we wanted to have water, if we wanted to have electricity, you know, we needed to pay those things. And so trying to figure out, I'm like, there's not a lot of places we can cut, and I realized that there are really two areas that we could cut if we wanted to make our budget work with what was now coming in each month. And one of those areas we could cut if we really felt we were supposed to was the amount of money we gave away, the way we blessed people. If you've been a part of Dallas Four Square Church for very long, you know that we are all about giving. We are all about generosity. We give over $1,500 a month to missionaries. We give over $1,000 a month to our community to bless and give back to our community. And even more than that, with benevolence and things and the way we help people. It's a part of who we are as a church, who God has called us to be. Which meant we really only had one place where we could make some cuts. And that was staff and salaries. And I had to remind myself in this process, right, that not only is God the provider of Dallas Four Square Church, God is also the provider of my family. Or that God is the provider of my family, right? Dallas Four Square Church, yeah, they send me a paycheck, right? Or I get a paycheck. But Dallas Four Square Church is not the provider for Darren Hausler. God is my provider. And so in November, Stacy Sheila and I took some pretty decent-sized pay cuts from the church here. Stacy, actually, we cut completely, right? She was doing the bookkeeping, and that was an amazing story, too, where someone that had wanted to do our bookkeeping, a friend of mine, had kept saying, hey, and I'm like, well, if I have you, then my wife's out of a job, you know? And so we were talking about it, and he's like, I'll tell you what, how about you cut your wife and save that money, and then I'll pay your wife to do the work and to do some other work for me. And so it worked out that we cut my wife, but she also got paid from them, and we paid less to them, if that makes sense. Anyways, if you could track with that. But then Sheila and I took some pay cuts, we did what we could to make the budget work for what had become our monthly income. And so that we could still be a church that gives generously. And so we finished 2023 strong. We made the big cuts the end of October. And we finished 2023 strong with a new budget where we were meeting that budget each month, and we're online and not bleeding anymore, if you know what I'm saying. And through it all, God has continued to show us that He is our provider. He is the provider of Dallas Foursquare Church. He is the provider of us as individuals. Stacy and I, at the end of the year, we looked and we're like, I don't know how we're doing it, but we're making it on our new budget. God is providing for us and is providing for our church. And so I wanted to take just a moment this morning to talk about this truth, the fact that God is our provider. And then I want to look at some things that I think we have to understand when it comes to this reality. And so if you have your Bibles this morning, you can open them to Matthew chapter 6. This is a well-known section of Scripture that reminds us of God's love for each of us. And just the fact that God is our provider. And so if you have your Bibles, you can follow along. We're going to read Matthew 6, verses 19 through 34. This is what it says in verses 19 through 34. Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where moth and rust do not destroy, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. The eye is the lamp of the body. If your eyes are good, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eyes are bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light within you is darkness, how great is that darkness? No one can serve two masters. Either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more important than food, and the body more important than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Who of you by worrying can add a single hour to his life? And why do you worry about clothes? See how the lilies of the field grow? They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? So do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. Now this scripture, it's a part of the Sermon on the Mount. And so Jesus, he's up on this hill somewhere, right? And I imagine maybe there were some birds flying overhead. Maybe off in the distance there were some lilies on the side of the hill. And he's using these things as an illustration for those who were there. He's saying, do you think those birds they're flying are stressing out and worrying about their next meal? Do you think the lilies over there on the side of the mountain stress about trying to look good and beautiful and being dressed well? No, they don't, because God takes care of these things for them. And the reality is, he's going to take care of us in the same way. He values us more than he does those things. He didn't die on a cross for the birds or for the lilies of the field, but he did die on a cross for us. And if he provides for them, I know that he will surely provide for us. God is our provider. And it's important that we realize this truth, right? We have to trust in him. We have to trust in his hand upon our lives. The problem is oftentimes we try to be our own provider, right? It'd have been real easy for us, myself and the council, to be like, oh, wait, we got to do something. We got to make something happen, right? We want to make it work. We try to do that in our own lives at times. We take things into our own hands. But the thing is when we do that, we just mess things up. We get in the way and we don't allow God to do what he really wants to do, which is faithfully provide for all of us. Now, in this section of Scripture, I think there are some things that we can learn from Jesus when it comes to this idea of letting him be our provider. And so I want to highlight some of those things. The first thing is this. If we believe that God's our provider, we need to understand the difference between wants and needs, right? In verse 25, it says, therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more important than food and the body more important than clothes? What is Jesus talking about here in these scriptures? He's talking about our basic needs, right? The necessities of life. You see, this verse doesn't say, don't worry about your boat or your quad, right? Your motorhome or your 80-inch flat-screen TV. Isn't life more important than recreation and your body more important than high definition? Right? That's not what he says here. All those things, those are wants. Those aren't things that we actually need to survive in life. Now, I'm not saying those things are bad. Please don't hear me. Oh, great, the pastor called me out on this or that or one of those things. I'm not saying those things are bad at all. I would love to have any of those things, okay? But the truth is, most of those things aren't things I can afford in my budget, right, on my salary. And I know that for me to have those things would actually cause me to struggle financially. Why? Because I would be living outside of my means, right? And I would be putting my family, myself and my family in debt. And the problem is, I think that's true for a lot of people in our world. Many people in our world can't actually afford those things, but they still have them, right? And while those things may make us feel happy while we're using them, right? Who doesn't love zooming around on a boat, right? Who doesn't love playing on a quad, whatever it may be? Those things may make us feel when we're good or happy when we're using them. But the problem is the rest of our life is miserable because we're up to our eyeballs in debt and it's causing all this stress and problems in our life and in our marriage. God is our provider. But we have to understand that he will provide our needs, right? Philippians 4:19 tells us that. Philippians 4:19 says, God will meet all your needs according to the riches of his glory in Christ Jesus. All your needs. That word needs in the original Greek language is the word kria. C-H-R-E-I-A, kriya. And it's referring to those things that are necessary. Those things that provide sustenance for our life. And so it's important that we're able to distinguish between our wants and our needs. And the reality is we really have four basic needs in life. Our four main needs: food, water, clothing, and shelter. And in our world today, you could maybe throw in a fifth and say transportation, right? You know, something to get us from point A to point B. But in reality, we can walk. In reality, we can get rides. And so it's not an actual necessity. But these four things, or five, if you throw those in there, those cover our basic needs. Everything else is just a want or desire. Now, some of us may say, wait a second, there are other needs I have. And if that's the case, I would challenge us to go and visit some other countries. Countries that aren't as spoiled as us. Because in those other countries, 90% of our world would see or would give anything to have those four or five basic needs. I forget the percentage. It's like 75% of our world lives off $2 a day. And that was 12 years ago, so maybe it's $3 a day now with inflation. I don't know. I don't think so. It's probably like $2.10 a day now. But many people in other countries would give anything to have those basic needs. We live in a place where we're spoiled. And I love the U.S. I am thankful for the blessings that we have here, but we live in a place where we're spoiled and we've forgotten what is a need and what is a luxury. And it's those luxuries that if we're not careful, again, there's nothing wrong with these things, but if we're not careful, they will put us into debt and to a place where we're actually unhealthy financially. Which is why we have to be able to distinguish between our needs and our wants if we want to be healthy financially. And we need to be aware of which wants we can actually afford, right? Because like I said, it's not bad to have those things if we can afford them, if we have the ability to pay for them. But oftentimes the problem is we get ourselves in trouble when we begin to use God's provisions for our wants, right? Instead of using those provisions for our needs. And so we blow our paycheck on the toys and the things that we want instead of on rent or food. And then we quickly find ourselves in an unhealthy place financially. And we wonder, why isn't God providing? The pastor says that God's our provider, but why isn't he providing, right? He is our provider. God will provide, but we have to be good stewards of his provisions. Because when we're bad stewards of what he gives us, we find ourselves in debt and without the basic needs. So again, God is our provider, but we need to understand the difference between wants and needs, which leads to the second thing that I think we need to understand when it comes to letting God be our provider, which is this. We need to stop living like everyone else. The beginning of verse 32 says, "For the pagans run after all these things." You see, just because this is how our culture lives doesn't mean it's how we should live. Just because our government continues to go deeper and deeper in debt doesn't mean we should go deeper and deeper in debt. We have to come to the realization that our culture is pretty messed up when it comes to money and finances. We live in a culture that it's all about keeping up with the Joneses. I got to keep up with those to the left of me and to the right of me. We have to keep up with the Joneses, if you've heard that saying before. But Jesus is telling us, you're not the Joneses. You won't find joy and happiness in that stuff. True joy and happiness comes from Jesus and the security that we find in knowing that he is our provider. He's the only one that will take care of us. He's the only one that loves us and actually wants the best for us. Our culture doesn't love us, okay? They love our money, right? They love what they can get from us. But what happens when your money's gone? They abandon you, right? They abandon us on the side of the road, leaving us wondering what in the world just happened. This reminds me of one of my favorite Ron Mel illustrations. I've shared it before. It's a Bugle Boy jeans commercial from the 80s. Some of you may remember that commercial. I actually think it's a perfect illustration of our world and our culture that we live in. And as the commercial begins, the camera pans in on this desert road, and there's this handsome young man, a lot like myself, there in a white shirt, right, and in a pair of blue jeans. And then you see this black sports car come driving down the road, and it zooms right past this handsome young man. But then you hear the squeal of the tires as this sports car slams on its brakes, throws it in reverse, and comes back to that young man on the side of the road. And the window slowly rolls down, and as the young man looks into the car, he sees this beautiful young woman, right? And she leans towards him and says, "Excuse me, are those Bugle Boy jeans you're wearing?" And he responds by saying, "Why, yes, they are Bugle Boy jeans." And then for some reason she says, "Thank you," rolls up the window, and quickly drives off, leaving him standing on the side of the road as the title Bugle Boy Jeans comes across the screen. Now, I don't have any clue what was behind the thought of that ad, right? What were they trying to say? But the truth is, this commercial describes our culture to a T. Our culture tells us to buy their clothes, right? To buy their latest stuff as if it will bring us joy and happiness. And instead, what happens? We get left on the side of the road with an empty bank account, wondering what in the world just happened. We need to stop living like the world. We need to stop living like everyone else. If we want to truly experience God's financial provision in our lives, we have to stop trying to live like the rest of the world lives. We have to stop spending money on things that we can't afford. And then the final thing I want to share this morning about letting God be our provider is this. If we truly want God to be our provider, we need to seek God's will first for our lives. Verse 33 says the famous verse, "But seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well." God wants to bless us, but we have to seek first His will for our lives. And that means every area of our lives, even our finances, right? Someone's like, "Oh, I'll give God this area of my life," but not this area. It means all aspects of our life, even our finances. And so we have to ask ourselves, are we truly seeking God's will and desire for our life when it comes to our finances, when it comes to money? Or are we seeking our will and our desire? Are we being good stewards of what God has given us? And the big question, are we giving Him control of our life? Or are we in control? One of the things that I think is important for us to understand about our money is that it's all His to begin with. Anything we have because God has given it to us. He has blessed us and given us the ability to have it. Last week, if you remember, one of our points was that we have to remember that it's all from God and it's all for God. That means everything, even our money. Now, some might say, "Well, hey, I worked hard for my money, right? I work hard for my money. I don't even know how that goes exactly, but yeah, you know what I'm talking about, right? I work hard for my money. But here's the thing. Who ultimately gave you that job? Or back it up even more, who gave you the gifts to be able to do that job? God did, right? And the sooner we realize that it's all for Him and for His glory, the sooner we'll find ourselves on that road of experiencing His financial provision in our lives. Here's a question. When was the last time we asked God about how we should spend our money? I'm in the middle of doing some marriage counseling with some people getting married here in a few months. And we talked about that. How do you make your big financial decisions? You know? You need to pray about it. You need to seek the Lord. Because if we're not seeking the Lord about how to spend, especially those big decisions, then we're going to find ourselves in some financial trouble. But if God says do it, then He's going to give you the provisions to come and help you through that. And so when was the last time we asked God how we should spend our money? How about this? When was the last time we prayed about a budget and actually gave our finances to the Lord? That's the other thing in this marriage council. We talk about, man, you got to have a budget. You can't just expect that you can just spend money, because before you know it, it's like, wait, what? Huh? Why does my bank account have a negative amount? Because you don't have a budget. You know, when was the last time we prayed about a budget and gave our finances to the Lord? When was the last time that we gave to others, to help others, because we prayed about it? Lord, how do you want me to give? How do you want me to help others? I can tell you from experience, these are some of the keys to experiencing God's provision in your life. As we've walked through this past year, we've prayed, myself and the council, we prayed faithfully. And we're listening to the Lord. And there were times when God kept saying, do you trust me? Right? And I'm thinking, yes. But it'd sure be nice to stop having to use some of the money in our savings. Because I wanted to use that for carpet. Or I wanted to use that for something else. Right? But here's the thing, it's fairly easy to trust God when you have savings to fall back on, right? Because at the beginning, we're like, oh, God's good, He'll provide. And, you know, I just expected the way He would provide is that He'd bring enough people along to cover that $3,000 and just take care of it. But that's not what God did. But He just said, do you trust in me? And so when that bank account was getting smaller and smaller, it was like, oh, do I trust that God's our provider? Do I trust that we're going to be able to keep moving forward? And I think we did well as a church, our council, and we continued to trust in Him. And He continued to provide. And He showed us areas where we needed to make some changes. As we prayed, He's like, okay, now, right? Here's the interesting thing. The words the Lord said to me in 2022... He said, where you end in 2022 will be a great start. And I didn't realize that He meant, okay, then later you're going to decrease. I thought, okay, yeah, a great start and it'll get bigger, right? That's what I had in my mind. And so when that, I was like, the Lord's like, okay, now it's time to make some cuts. Now it's time to trust in me. Because also the Lord wasn't just showing me that He's the provider of Dallas Four Square Church. He was also showing me that He's my provider. I don't need a paycheck from Dallas Four Square Church to provide. God will take care of me, right? And so as we prayed, He showed us areas where we needed to make some changes. And as we made those changes, we finished the year strong, making our new budget and still being the generous church that He's called us to be. Now, I'm guessing that some of us here this morning, we may be struggling in the area of finances. But I want to encourage everyone this morning. God is your provider. God is our provider. God will provide. Again, this means that we need to understand the difference between wants and needs. It means that we may need to stop living the way we've been living. Stop living like everyone else, right? And most importantly, it means that we need to seek first God's will. We need to seek Him and allow Him to speak to us and show us the areas where He wants us to spend and not to spend. Because if we're faithful to live this way, as Philippians 4:19 says, God will meet all our needs, right? According to the riches of His glory. Amen. Will you pray with me? Heavenly Father, I am so thankful that You are our provider, that You have faithfully provided for this church from day one. Even through the ups and downs and challenges that maybe we faced at different times along the way, You have always been faithful to provide for those things that You have called us to do. And Lord, I know this last year has looked different for us. But even in that, You faithfully provided. You got us through the times and You showed us what to do to keep allowing You to be our provider. And so, Lord, we thank You. We thank You that You are our provider. We give You the praise and honor for all that You do. And Lord, my heart and prayer this morning is, as I share these things, that all of us would be encouraged, that You are our provider. It may mean that we need to step back and take a look at our finances. We may need to step back and listen to You closer, to allow You to guide and direct how we spend our money, to allow You to help us maybe to not try to be like everyone else, but to trust in You and the fact that You will provide for our needs. And so, Lord, I thank You that as a pastor, I can talk about finances in a positive way, that I don't have to be up here and beg for more money. Because though You use the gifts of those here at this church, they are not the provider of the church. You are. And You will bring what needs to be brought in for what You've called us to do. And You will do the same in our lives, Lord. As we're faithful to seek You, to seek You first, You will provide, and all other things will be added. And so we thank You for these things. We thank You for what You've done in and through our church, what You're doing in our lives. Allow us to hear what You want to speak to us as individuals today. How do we grow in this area of trusting in You as our provider? We thank You, we praise You, we give You all these things. In Jesus' name, amen.